The QE1 was $2 trillion, and it didn't work. So they figure, let's throw another $600 billion at it. Because they're having all kinds of banking problems.
Yeah, because no one else is, right? But if they get Seamus McDonough, let me help you along, you know, then it's okay. Man, it's so loud in here. And it's grand how they named the fucking bailout after a grand old boat. Don't worry, it's the QE2. When they stop the drum machine.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm two kinds of Montezuma Max.
Drunk as usual. And this is episode 162 of Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. Today is November 15th, 2010. We are joined in the booth by Joshua.
Aaron's
hey, how are you?
Good, hey. Josh. How you doing?
Doing grand.
Well, the elections are over, so now we get to worry about, you know, things like the economy and health care again, rather than whether the Tea Party is going to get in control.
Don't you think the Tea Party would do real well in Ireland? Everybody drinking tea? You know, you go over there, you have the coffee party, you know, there's...
That's not kind of like where they're at, though, I don't think. They're not about drinking tea.
I know, we love our fucking tea.
and other beverages.
That's what I'm saying. Starbucks, fuck them, you know. They're back home, man.
This ain't Seattle.
So listen, I know that recently there's been a lot of talk in the news about this QE2 situation, which is the quantitative
easing.
Some kind of. Yeah, easing with, you know, the government putting all this money and stuff. And today, for the first time, I heard that they were talking about bailing out not only the United States, but they're talking about bailing out the world economy. And then, lo and behold, in my mailbox, there was an article about
Ireland.
A bailout in Ireland. And so I
and
thought to myself...
And it's grand how they named the fucking bailout after a grand old boat. Don't worry, it's the QE2. It's all cool.
So I'm a little confused now. This is the second round of quantitative easing in the United States. And that relates to Ireland in a direct way?
Well, I think from what I understand, that that's like one of the next steps. The QE1 was $2 trillion, and it didn't work. So they figure... Let's throw another $600 billion at it.
Yeah, they're saying it might be a trillion before it's over.
Right, and see what happens there. But then I'm hearing that this isn't just an American financial crisis. This goes to the core of, you know, the world economy. And then there's this article saying that Ireland's looking for, or some big people in Ireland are looking for a $100 billion aid package for a bailout there.
Right. Well, they just bailed out Greece. And Josh, correct me if I'm wrong, but Ireland, like Greece, is part of the European Union. So I'm confused.
Well, we said that, you know, we're talking about another $600 billion for a program that already showed that it didn't work. It didn't help the economy. It didn't create jobs. Right. It didn't lower prices. It didn't do a lot of stuff. And then I throw another $600 billion at it.
Well,
but now, in Ireland,
I think there's a distinction between quantitative easing. It's only halfway gone, and a bailout. What they're talking about that I saw from the clip that I watched from what Josh sent us was that Europe is going to want Ireland to take a loan.
Right, because they're having all kinds of banking problems.
Yeah, because no one else is, right?
Right. mean, and that gets back
the thing that kills me is fucking America, you know, the Yanks have all these bank problems like no one else does. Fucking Greenland, gone. Iceland,
It's true. It's true. The Greenland economy.
I didn't even know that Greenland had banks.
Yeah, and you know, they had a huge percentage of their savings tied up in these bogus American bank products.
Hold on a second.
Well,
every
yeah.
Four out of five people in the country are called fascists. You know, there's the problem right there.
Four out of five people are what?
Are called Ferguson, you know that.
So, Josh, I've heard of something called the Irish Miracle. Do you have any ideas about what that is or comments on the Irish Miracle?
The Irish Miracle, as stated by the Yanks, right?
Right, concerning economics.
The Irish Miracle. No, I don't.
All right. The way I heard it was Ireland has no taxes. No income taxes.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Demands miracle. Demands miracle. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Not the Irish miracle. See, that's the thing. You wouldn't say the Irish miracle in Ireland. You know?
Well, no, of course not.
Yeah, sorry, I misread you there. Yeah, demands miracle, yeah.
So, the way I heard it was tons of technical jobs went to Ireland. There was a huge explosion in the Irish economy as a result of this low or no tax rate. And I know there were a lot of technical jobs over there, and I don't know. That's kind of what I know about it.
Yeah, see, a lot of people think of them as technical jobs, and us big, you know, that's the way the Irish Times, the papers, they all said technical jobs, you know.
Right.
And what it comes down to a lot is call center jobs. It's really, really.
IT jobs, you mean? Like, you know.
Yeah.
No, entry level and next, just the next half fuck up, you know, reading a script on a phone.
So you mean these Irish guys that are hassling me about my credit cards? Is that what you're saying? That when I get a call because I'm a day late?
Here's the thing. Here's what they did. They said, the people who buy a fucking Dell PC in the States and they don't know a damn thing about the web. When they have a problem, they call, and if they get Sanjay Gupta, they can't fucking handle it, and they fucking ring off in a second, right? But if they get Seamus McDonough, let me help you along, you know, then it's okay. But it's not technical jobs. It's reading a fucking script in a call center in fucking Limerick.
But basically, our American jobs are going to Dublin to get
our
cheaper
American
labor.
Jobs. Our American jobs. are you going to have Shaniqua flipping a burger or telling you, well, you've got to reboot? You know? That's your fucking choice. It's mad.
Yeah. But the same call center job in New York is going to pay $15.80 an hour, and in Ireland it pays $8.
Yeah, the manager's getting fucking $8.
Wow!
So you're saying that...
Here's the thing. The manager's the only one getting any benefits, any help, any.
Is that
fucking,
right?
You know, you really ought to quit smoking, you know. Like everybody smokes. You know, everybody's smoking fucking bags out their arse because the fucking Yank don't know how to boot his damn machine.
So I know when they outsource the jobs to India, I know that a lot of American companies, like, set up these programs where the Indians would learn, like, how to deal with American customers and stuff. Do they do that in Ireland too? I mean, do they, you know, teach you guys how to do that? No. They pretty much assume because you speak generally the same language, you don't need that?
I think that's the same thing. They say, you'll be fine.
Good morning, Dell. This is Josh. May I help you?
Why do you think I'm in fucking Manhattan?
That is the point, isn't it? As opposed to, and now I can't do an Indian voice, which is probably just as respectful anyway.
By the Lord, it's warm anyway.
But,
well, that's the thing. They say they go back and forth, you know. They say, well, you know, it's 23 Celsius. You're in Limerick. It's fucking 3.
You know, that always gives me a problem when I'm in Toronto. They say it's going to be 3 today. It'll be warm. And I'm like, really? But in India...
5 nights plus 32, Max.
5 nights plus
32? 5 nights plus
32. Oh, 5 nights.
Let me start here by saying that I have an update about a story, actually about an issue that you and I have talked about a number of times.
We like to keep our listeners updated.
We do. We do. And what this is about is that there has been the first successful challenge of somebody being fired because of something that they said on Facebook.
Wow, that is interesting.
All right. An ambulance company's social media policy is being challenged by the National Labor Relations Board. Okay. Essentially, in Connecticut, a woman who works for this ambulance company was fired because she criticized her supervisor on Facebook. And the Labor Relations Board overturned it and said that her rant against her boss was well within her First Amendment rights, and that they needed to rehire her.
Wow.
Now, you and I have talked lots of times about,
it's,
you know.
It's one of my pet peeves. I, being a stupid person, am prone to say stupid things. And I'm afraid someday I'm going to get fired for being an idiot, which doesn't make me stupid, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what it does really is throws us into a sort of netherland of not really being sure.
Right.
You know, and that's it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, the defense, the reason that I'm surprised that this worked is in a lot of states and more states, what they call right to work states, which always irritates me. Mm-hmm. They have these rules which say basically that both sides can end the work relationship at the drop of a hat for whatever reason they want to, not for cause.
Right.
So even if you can say that you have a right to say your boss is a blah, 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 excuse me,
mm-hmm.
they can still fire you because it's Tuesday.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how this works out. I'm a big advocate of free speech, particularly political speech, but I'm also a big advocate of stupid speech,
right?
Because that's what I make.
Well, I guess, you know, it for us, it's always raised the issue. First of all, it raised the issue of privacy,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if you and I were talking in a bar and you said, my boss really sucks.
Right.
Is that any different than writing down to me in a Facebook message, my boss really sucks? You know,
well,
and there
yeah,
are people who would argue.
I think that maybe it does, actually. But what you're circling around, I think, is what is public speech
right.
versus private speech.
Well, that's why I said that you're talking in a bar, because somebody could overhear
right.
you.
Right. You know? Are in a bar. You're not talking to someone in particular, but they could still overhear you. In your Facebook, you're not talking to everyone, but they can still, many people, because
quote
they don't
overhear you. Yeah,
right,
sure.
Right, quote unquote overhear you, exactly.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting point, and we've seen so many stories about people that have been fired for something they put on Facebook.
Right.
That,
well, the end of this. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, it's kind of nice to hear one go the other way, although for all I know, this person is a complete ass.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, the end of this article has an interesting ending. It says, Facebook is becoming the water cooler. It's
right.
where colleagues interact and gossip.
Right.
And now the government is stepping in to protect that right.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And Facebook is going places. Facebook is...
Oh, yeah.
People think, well, you know, 500 million users. It's going public soon as a business. Mm-hmm. And I think it's... I think Facebook is eventually going to have their own email.
They announced it today that they are.
There you go. They're going to have their own private, or maybe that's not the right word, but large file transfer service, which is a great benefit, as you know. Sometimes mm-hmm. you want to send something better, bigger than 8 megs.
My impression is that the Facebook and the Google are going to fight it out over the internet.
Yeah.
You know, to see who ends up being...
And I don't think a lot of people realize that the Facebook might win.
I think it's very, very possible that it could.
And young Mr. Dweebaholic there is going to be king of the world.
Right.
You know, riding on the front of the boat.
There you go. So listen, now this whole thing about the government stepping in,
Yeah. Okay,
leads us to your and my political discussion about, you know, how much government is too much or not enough government.
Right.
And I was wondering if you by any chance saw the new FDA proposed graphic warnings for cigarette packs?
No.
That was released today?
Nope.
It was released today.
Right.
Okay.
I did find the top 20 most beautiful women, though.
Okay. Well,
it tells you the kind of stuff I'm reading.
Right. Well, federal regulators, drug regulators, have unveiled 36 proposed warning labels for cigarette packages.
Yeah. Okay.
What's interesting about – two things are interesting about them. One is they're not just words. Right now they're just words on the side of the pack.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, they're going to show pictures of, like, infected lungs?
They're going to show pictures of – one of the pictures was a person with a toe tag and that sort of
– Right. Graphic.
Sort of. The other thing is right now the regulation says the print has to be, you know, a certain size on the side of the pack.
Right.
Under these new guidelines, it must be one half of the front of the pack and one half the front of a carton of cigarettes.
Wow. So you can get a full-on side view of a dead body with a toe tag.
Basically.
On your carton.
And any advertising that cigarettes do, it has to be one-fifth of the advertisement.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. It begs a question, which now I wish that Josh was still here when we were talking about this. What do you think about the voting down of the marijuana proposal in California?
Do you mean in general what I feel about it, or are you talking specifically about that campaign and what happened out there?
I'm talking about the results. What do you think about the fact that California said that marijuana should be illegal? And how it relates to the sort of crimping of the legality of tobacco.
Yeah, I really haven't given that particular aspect of it a whole lot of thought, so I'm not sure.
All right, well, let me give you my take real quick.
Sure, yeah.
I don't like marijuana. I don't think it's a good thing for people to do. But I think we proved in the 1920s that prohibition is a bad idea. It seems to me that the tobacco, this thing you just described, the constriction on tobacco sales in this country, and I'm not an advocate for tobacco, are getting really severe. You know, you can't advertise. We all know. That also says something about the effectiveness of advertising, or at least on Americans. On the one hand, I think we should make marijuana legal and tax it and regulate it, and, you know, you have to go to the government marijuana store, like you have to go to the government beer store in Canada for beer. And just let it go. Stop spending so much energy trying to keep a pothead from smoking a doob.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm beginning to think we've hit the line with tobacco. Is there anyone in the United States who doesn't know that tobacco is bad for you? I'm beginning to feel bad for smokers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you raise a very, very interesting issue, and that's the issue. At what point is the government responsible for its citizens? Yeah. You know, and, yeah. and if you have all of this, I mean, you know, for everything that you can say about marijuana, you can say almost the same thing for cigarettes.
Oh, worse for cigarettes.
Yeah, so, you know.
But they're legal.
Right. Well, that I mean, that's the difference.
But they have always had a better lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that, and this is getting me onto politics, and you know me, sooner or later it gets to politics.
John Boehner handed out tobacco checks on the floor of the Congress.
Is that right?
Yeah.
When was that?
I'm going to say, well, yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago. And he
wow.
admitted that it was a mistake, but he handed out right after a vote about continuing tax benefits for tobacco companies.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to subsidize tobacco. But we're going to throw you in jail for 8 ounces of pot.
Right. Well, I don't think it makes any sense at all. You know, talking in general about it should be decriminalized just for the, you know, you talk about the country needing to save money and,
right.
You know, get out of debt and get all the financial problems that we're having as a country. You know, how many people are in jail because of a little bit of marijuana? It's crazy that we spend that much money.
Right. Trying to stop people from doing what they really want to do that doesn't harm anyone, except maybe, I will grant you.
While we allow people to drink and smoke.
Right. Which,
with impunity.
And I heard a story just this weekend that the most dangerous drug in terms of its negative effects on health is alcohol. You know,
right.
Big surprise.
Right.
But we've proven.
But like you said, we have a better lobby for alcohol and for tobacco than we do for marijuana.
Right. We tried prohibition. It didn't work. The war on drugs hasn't worked. We've got to stop declaring war on everything. You know, pretty soon we're going to declare war on tube socks. You just can't keep declaring war on something. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to have a tube sock orange alert. It's just ridiculous. All they do is scare us, and it's the right-wing people who are the scaredest, who are selling this idea that, you know, oh, you have to watch out. You know, give it a rest. Yes, I've heard people say that the heated smoke from marijuana is, you know, so toxic and bad for your lungs. And sure, if you're sucking in hot air, probably not good for your lungs. But we know it's not good for your health to drink to excess. We know it's not good for your health to suck in hot air from a different leaf,
mm-hmm.
but those things are legal. I just
right. The only point at which I have some issues with it, Max, is in regards to driving under the influence.
Of course. I never was advocating driving under the influence.
No, I know you're not. But what I'm saying is that we do have ways to test for driving under the influence of alcohol.
I think we have them for marijuana, too.
I'm just not sure that we have that accurate, you know. I think that you have to do a blood test or whatever. Do you not?
I don't think so, but even if.
Well, see, the problem with the blood test is not going to tell you when.
Well,
in alcohol, you can take a breathalyzer test or you can do a blood test, and the alcohol is out of your system within hours.
Right, but from what I hear, what I've heard recently, and I think might be true, you can tell when someone smoked marijuana. Weeks, up to weeks, historically, by checking their hair.
Right. But again, that doesn't tell you whether they're stoned right now when they're driving.
Right.
And so that's my concern about it.
I heard a comedian say that he thinks that marijuana should be legal specifically because it's the only thing that makes a teenage boy drive slowly.
Yeah, I just don't want to take that chance.
Well, no, no.
But I'm being honest. I mean, I am in favor of legalizing it.
Yeah.
But the one thing that makes me nervous, or the one thing that I would be most concerned about, is that whole driving under the influence.
I agree. So you throw them in jail for, you know, putting some other person's life in danger. It's not like they're not doing it now.
Right. Oh, I know. But like I said, I'm not sure that there's the immediacy of a test.
I think it's there. I really do think it's there.
Yeah.
Plus, you can be arrested for driving under the influence of prescription narcotics.
Sure. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't think of any right offhand, but, you know, if somebody could be looped out of their mind on Ambien or something. Of course, Ambien, you might have an excuse. because you might not know that you're driving.
Right. Or you'd be asleep when you're driving.
Right. What would you do in that case? I guess you'd plead sleep, temporary sleep.
Yes, temporary sleep. The picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like our